You're listening to Valley Public Radio. We have two special guests joining us in our studio right now. With us, we have Maestro Theodore Kuchar of the Fresno Philharmonic. Ted, welcome.
Thank you, Joe. Nice to see you.
And we also have a new face for Valley Public Radio listeners, or I should say a new voice, a new face in our studio, and that is guest pianist Antonio Pompobaldi. He is performing with the orchestra this weekend in a very special concert that I want to talk about in a moment. Antonio, welcome.
Thank you, Joe.
Antonio is doing something relatively unique, at least in recent years, for the Fresno Philharmonic, in that in three concerts, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights at the Paul Chagoyan Concert Hall, or rather Friday and Saturday nights and Sunday afternoon, performing the entire cycle of Beethoven's piano concertos 1 through 5. I want to talk about those in a moment, but Antonio, first of all, it has to be great to work with Ted, and Ted, it has to be great to work with Antonio. Maybe if I could have both of you talk about the other, at least your experiences so far, and then we'll talk about what's coming up in the concert.
It's absolutely wonderful that we're here together, so we hear what each other has to say. I'm thrilled to play with Ted, and we played together in South Africa with the Cape Philharmonic, with the Cape Town Philharmonic, and even there was a very challenging set of concertos, those of Sergei Rachmaninoff. The one thing I have to say, I've never met a conductor who was willing to fly across the continent to come meet me in Cleveland and work on the concerti even before we met in South Africa. And I think that's the reason those concerts went so smoothly. That and, of course, your talent.
And Ted, maybe your thoughts about those concerts and working with Antonio.
Well, I think any subsequent collaboration with Antonio is going to be a letdown right now, because his reputation certainly precedes him. I have known about Antonio for many years from mutual colleagues and friends in Cleveland. And as I said, as Antonio told you, we met for the first time. Our collaboration, Antonio concluded the complete Rachmaninoff piano concertos in May. So I only know this great artist from gargantuan tasks. I know him from the 5 piano concertos of Rachmaninoff. Now I know him from the 5 piano concertos of Beethoven. And I said to him, if ever we should be engaged in a normal situation where it's an overture, single piano concerto, and symphony situation, it's going to be a letdown to see him only play one piece rather than all 5. So I think that, you know, the Rachmaninoff concertos are such a feat equally for the soloist as they are for the orchestra. And in the case of Beethoven, the concept of putting all 5 concertos together is absolutely not a normal act, but it's something which I associate, having seen throughout the 20th century, only by the most legendary of people. And for example, I had a bit of a conflict with my mother yesterday. We were arguing with whom I've either collaborated or seen do the 5 concertos, which were the best, which were the worst, who's the best Beethoven player. So she was speaking about Rudolf Serkin playing them with William Steinberg in the Pittsburgh Symphony in 1966 when, you know, I was just an infant. She had studied with Serkin for several years and went to go see those concerts. I then remember the legendary Emil Gilels, great Soviet pianist who actually played all 5 of them over 2 concerts with Lorin Maazel and the Cleveland Orchestra in 1977, I believe it was. I've then had the possibility of doing it several times. But, you know, as a music director, we all look for things of presenting to our audiences which are a bit off the beaten track, not so traditional, yet are not going to break the bank in terms of presentation, yet maintain a certain level of artistic integrity, but are not something which you get to see presented every season. And the Beethoven piano concertos, along with the symphonies, are simply at the absolute top of the list of most beloved and respected works of art in our profession. Yet the concertos, especially the Emperor, are known for being programmed on their own, are novelties and great attractions when they are. But the concept of putting all 5 of these epic works together in a weekend within 24 hours of each other, or in this case, 36 hours of each other, it's a gargantuan task. It's a bit like watching the 7'8" Andre the Giant fighting some little 5'2" Speedy Gonzalez running around the ring. And In this case, we have somebody the size of Speedy Gonzalez, but taking on the gargantuan task of Andre the Giant.
I want to ask you about that task, Antonio. This, as Ted said, is somewhat unusual. You have done it before, though. How is this process or this set of concerts different for you in terms of your preparation as a musician than a concert where maybe you were just doing the fifth concerto, the most famous of the five?
Well, I think it's the difference is, of course, the endurance that's required, but it's not so much physical as much as it is mental, the concentration. Because, you know, when you have to play, it's a little bit over 3 hours, the duration of the five concertos, and you're playing them from memory, and so it's a lot of pressure and responsibility to be ready with a massive amount of music in a very short amount of time. And you don't have really enough time to reset, to relax, reset your brain, and then go on. You just have to be in performing mode, basically, from the get-go. And in the preparation, I mean, obviously, I'm, you know, considering that I have played all the Beethoven's before, but not in a cycle. This is my first time playing all five like this. I think it's it changes your approach to each of them, because then it even subtly changes your interpretation of each of them, because then you relate them to one another. You can see the progression, the evolution of the style. And I think as a musician, it makes you understand better, you know, what each of them individually means. But it's definitely a gargantuan task.
And I want to follow up on that, the thought of the progression musically of those works from Beethoven's early days when he was still very much influenced by Mozart and Haydn to the ultimate with the Fifth Concerto. But Ted, I want to ask you the same question I just asked Antonio from the perspective of a conductor. You have the score, the advantage of that. But what is this challenge like for the orchestra and for you in terms of presenting three concerts on three nights back-to-back, different music on each night?
Anytime one is collaborating with the soloist, you have to be absolutely on your toes, because although it may be repertoire that both the conductor and the soloist and the orchestra are familiar with that you're playing for the second or third time, you know, you don't know if the soloist had a conflict of some kind a half hour before coming on stage. You don't know if he ate something bad for lunch and he's in complete physical tension with himself while playing. There are all kinds of things that can affect a performance, no matter if you're playing it for the first time or the 101st time. And I think many orchestra musicians, many audience members often feel, they played it last night, or we played it last night. It's taken for granted. And I think any time you're dealing with human beings or live organisms, you can never, ever take anything for granted, as life has taught me. And, you know, you've got to treat every time you walk on stage in front of people like the first time, because repetition, as soon as you sit in front of 1,000 or 2,000 people, you know, the stress and the great demands and responsibility that you have to the piece and to the audience are as though you've never done it before. Joe, if you don't mind, I wanted to ask Antonio, because it's something that I often think about in this situation. It's not unusual that if you're traveling, that you may have to play a recital three nights in a row. Let's say you're touring your homeland, you're going back to Italy, just the way when I've gone with one of my orchestras, where, you know, you travel on a bus for 3 to 5 hours every day, and tonight you're in Modena, tomorrow you're in Perugia, and the third night you're in Milan. It's physically very taxing. Yet at the same time, I wonder, okay, here we are, you're sleeping in the same hotel room, you're playing the same piano, you're playing in the same hall, but you're playing several concertos every night. Is that physically any more demanding? Do you have to pace yourself? And again, it's not only the amount of concerts that we have, but, you know, we rehearsed yesterday, we rehearsed the night before yesterday, so you're playing 3 hours straight. We'll have a rehearsal tonight, and then tomorrow it becomes more complicated, because we rehearse Friday morning for the Friday night concert, Saturday morning for the Saturday night concert, and then Sunday morning for the Sunday afternoon concert. So it's a lot of physical demand which is placed on you. And, you know, you watch how football players prepare themselves physically, going through calisthenics, going through this and that. And my goodness, you know, football players, after the Sunday afternoon NFL game, they've got several days to relax and recuperate and sit in the tub. The only thing you can do is finish the concert and prepare yourself for the next round.
One thing that I can assure you, I do not have a set of people to work on me, like massaging me or, you know, just preparing the tub for me. No. I think that the demands of playing so much music in a short amount of time are not so much the energy that you spend at the piano. I'm used to that. I think it's more the difficulty, at least for me, of coming down from the height of either rehearsing late at night or especially when we will perform, being able to quickly turn around, coming down enough with the adrenaline and everything so that I can go to sleep and be ready at 9:30 the next morning to rehearse and then go all day long until the performance at night. Now, from that point of view, knowing myself especially, I always have trouble falling asleep. So I'm not an insomniac, but it's just that, you know, sometimes I want to sleep on my own schedule and I can't. So that will be the challenge. That will definitely be the challenge. But I could spend 12 hours at the piano and not be tired.
We're talking with pianist Antonio Pampabaldi, who is performing with the Fresno Philharmonic, Maestro Theodore Kuchar also with us today. The orchestra is performing the complete piano concertos of Beethoven, all five concertos, 3 days back-to-back, Friday night, Saturday night, and then Sunday. Concertos 1 and 3 on Friday, Concertos 2 and 4 on Saturday, and then the 5th, the Emperor Concerto, on Sunday afternoon. Antonio, I want to turn back to you. You were talking about how playing them all back-to-back influences your interpretation of them, maybe differently than you would if you were playing one solo. Can you talk a little about that and the individual character of each of these pieces? As the fifth is certainly the best known to most casual listeners, but all five are great works and have their own personality, shall we speak?
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, first of all, it's not so much that it changes your interpretation of each concerto, but it crystallizes views that you might have had, and then you tend to even emphasize them more so as to accentuate the individuality and the uniqueness of each concerti. And then the points of contact within the evolution of the language in Beethoven's music are definitely there. When you think about, I think one of the greatest things in the five concertos is everyone, as you said, from the very early one, which is number 2, by the way, which was written first. It was only published second, but it's now known as the second piano concerto. But from number 2, opus 19, written maybe 1787, as early as when Beethoven was 17, that's when he started it. Then he revised it and published it much later. But from that concerto through the fifth, opus 73, you can see that there are some points of contact that remain. Like each theme, each first theme in each first movement could be called a march, basically. There is a strong, very strong rhythmic element there in each of them. And yet, Beethoven is able to, through the key or the mode or other devices, to give it a completely different character. If I were to describe or characterize the five concerti, which is very difficult to do in a couple of adjectives, I would say that the first one, number 2, is fresh and elegant. That the second one, number 1 in C major, is exuberant, strong, and joyful. Number 3, maybe powerful and brooding in C minor. Number 4 in G major for me is transcendental, because it reaches heights, celestial heights, and it's probably the most highly ornate concert. It still has the march-like ta-ta-ta-ta constantly everywhere. But Beethoven is able to transfigure that and make it into a celestial character. And then number 5, of course, that's an easy one. It's a noble, majestic, you know, regal.
I think one of the important things to consider, because several people have spoken to me about it and it's a misconception during the past few days, is that when we speak about Beethoven's entirety in certain specialized areas, such as when we talk about the complete symphonies or the complete string quartets or the complete piano sonatas, in all of these areas, you have early Beethoven, you have middle Beethoven, you have late Beethoven. For example, with the string quartets, you have the six quartets which make up Opus 18. With the middle quartets from the middle period, you have the three which make up Opus 59. And then there are two midway between middle and late, Opus 74, the harp quartet, Opus 95. And then the late quartets, 131, 132, 135. And that's a different world. In the case of the symphonies, the first and second symphonies are very much neoclassical, is what we have with Haydn and Mozart. The Eroica symphony changed classical music altogether. And basically, we're dealing with middle Beethoven from the third symphony all the way to the eighth. And then the ninth symphony, the Great Choral Symphony, which is Opus 125, that precedes the final quartets. In the case of the piano concertos, you cannot make the same delineation because, again, as you said very correctly, the first two concertos are very, very much in the classical mold. Number two, which he began composing at the age of 17, is still very, very early and neo-Haydn-esque, I would say. But even when we get to the Emperor Concerto, number five, if we're completely analytical about it, the Emperor Concerto is Opus 73. And Opus 73 in Beethoven's entire output, you know, the Seventh Symphony, possibly his most beloved by musicians, is Opus 92. The Eighth Symphony is Opus 93. Those came much later than the final piano concerto. So in the context of the piano concertos, even if we think that we're getting, which we are, the complete concertos, we're not getting the complete life of Beethoven as we are in other genres that he composed for.
Yes, I mean, he was done with the piano concerti a lot earlier than he was with the symphonies. And who knows, had he lived a little longer, if he had would have ever gone back. I mean, we do have it in the complete piano sonatas. We have the late Beethoven with the 111. I mean, you might argue even there it's not as late as some of the other compositions, but it's pretty much fairly fair to say that it's late Beethoven. But true, the last of the piano concerto still is not late Beethoven. But still, it offers quite a span of his evolution.
We're talking about the music of Beethoven as our guest, Antonio Pompobaldi, will be performing the complete Beethoven Piano Concerto cycle this weekend with the Fresno Philharmonic Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon at the Paul Chagoyan Concert Hall. And Maestro Theodore Kuchar is with us right now. We sort of skipped over our guest's biography to talk about the music, but I want to turn back to your career, Antonio, and talk about your life in music. You were in the 2001 Van Cliburn competition silver medalist there, and then your career has taken off to international acclaim since then. You're from Italy. Tell us a little about your path from Italy to Van Cliburn and then from Van Cliburn to now.
Van Cliburn only came later. The Cleveland competition is what turned my life around. But anyway, music is more important, so it's all right that we started from there. I was born and raised in Italy. I did all my studies in Italy, and I was born in southern Italy in the city of Foggia. And I had a good fortune to have two fantastic teachers. One of them, unfortunately, passed away weeks ago. His name is Aldo Ciccolini. Was one of the greatest pianists who ever lived, and one of the largest repertoires ever assembled by one single man. Also, he recorded most of it, which is great. Anyway, he died at the age of 89. And the other teacher I had, and I had the good fortune to study with, is Anna Maria Pennella. Both of them were born in Naples. Both of them had stellar careers. In the case of Anna Maria Pennella, she had to stop concertizing during the war. There were many problems there. But she has a resilience and a strong spirit, so she became the best teacher ever and had scores of great students and so forth. But anyway, then I started doing competitions, like everybody else at first, to assess where I was with my development and everything. And then it turned serious because, you know, I wasn't born in a very wealthy family and I wasn't born in one of the epicenters of the musical world. I was born in a very small provincial town, so I didn't have a way to, say, go play for the Ted Kuchers of the world. I just would never have met them. So I just did competitions to try and get my name out there. And that's how, little by little, I worked up my way to the Cleveland International Piano Competition. This was 1999. And I ended up winning first prize there, and then that's what made me move to the United States. The Clyburn came 2 years later because my wife decided I should go to it. and, of course, she's boss. No, but I thought I was done with competitions. Competitions for me are wonderful, but at the same time, the concept of judging people and ranking them is always, you know, difficult. We don't have parameters, like it's not like a foot race or anything like that where you have a chronometer. And I say this having been quite successful in competitions, but I still am aware that it's the only process that we have, but it's probably not the fairest of them. And it's very subjective at best. At any rate, I thought I was done with competitions, but then, you know, everybody was telling me, the Clyburn is great because it's a great window of opportunity and exposure, especially. So that's how I ended up going to the Clyburn, and I don't regret it. It is a wonderful event. It was put together very well, and it does offer its winners lots of opportunities and visibility, so it was good. And by the time I did the Clyburn, I was already teaching at the Oberlin College. So I've been a full-time teacher basically my entire career. And I'm now, since 2003, I've been a full-time teacher at the Cleveland Institute of Music.
Before we go, I want to ask you, you did the Rachmaninoff cycle with Maestro Kuchar in South Africa, now the Beethoven cycle in Fresno. Are there other cycles that you would consider in the future? What would those be? What do you think about that?
Well, absolutely. I mean, next year, for example, in terms of the number of concerti involved, it's much shorter, but I'm playing both Brahms with the same orchestra. That will be the Dayton Philharmonic, and it will be two consecutive nights, Brahms 1 and 2. But the duration of those concerts is quite massive. I think the first one is about 50 and the second is about 48 minutes, to give or take. But I also played the Liszt complete 1, 2, and Totentanz. I mean, complete is the more difficult word there because there is other pieces for piano and orchestra. So, I've done cycles before. One cycle that I would love to do, and I haven't had a chance to do it, and this will be both because I love the music and as a tribute to my teacher, Ciccolini, would be the complete Saint-Saëns.
Mm-hmm.
They are absolutely amazing concerti, all five. And there's five again.
We're looking forward to this performance again of the complete Beethoven Piano Concerto cycle that's coming up this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday and Saturday nights, 1 and 3 on Friday night, 2 and 4 on Saturday night, and then the 5th, the Emperor Concerto on Sunday afternoon, the Fresno Philharmonic at the Paul Chagoyan Concert Hall with guest pianist Antonio Pompabaldi, who joins us today, as well as Maestro Theodore Kuchar. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with our listeners today, and best of luck in the performance this weekend.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Joe.